You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
A little over 2 years ago, my father-in-law passed away. As you know, my husband's name is Knut, and he's exactly what you would imagine. The flannel shirt, carrying a hatchet, played college football. But Knut's dad was bigger and stronger than that. Not really tall, but the stocky. He was a solid farmer. I remember talking with some of my friends, some men that I knew, that after meeting my father-in-law, that when they shook his hand, they were immediately, the thought going through their head is, this man could kill me with his pinky. He just had one of those handshakes that terrified you. His handshake wasn't painful, but you realized you were dealing with a rock. My father-in-law had 22 grandkids, and 16 of them were boys. This made a very male-dominated family. And when his grandsons came over, it was a common sight for them to charge through the door and try to tackle Grandpa. Each one of them loved to test their strength against Grandpa to see if they could get him to budge just a little. If you could get his foot to move a little, that meant you were having a really strong day. If you could just make him move. He was diagnosed with some heart problems and was put into the hospital for some observation, and after 10 days of being in the hospital, he died. My husband and his siblings were there at the hospital. It was in, since we live in a rural place, the hospital was about an hour away in Fargo, North Dakota. And my husband called me before he died, and he told me, I need you to come right away because we're putting him on palliative care, and it's time to come say goodbye. And so I remember I was in the middle of cooking supper, so I said, okay, do I need to like run out the door now, or do I have 15 minutes to get the kids settled here before I run? And he said, you have 15 minutes, maybe a half hour, but get here right away. And then 10 minutes later, he called and he said he's gone. I hadn't even had a chance to leave the house. And he said, can you tell the kids? Which was, hearing the wailing from my children was probably one of the worst moments of my life. And at the funeral, before the funeral, his casket was in the front of the church, and we decided that each family would go up there and say their goodbyes as a family before the event started. And my husband was the oldest son, and so our family went first. Our oldest flew home from college. We were all together, all six kids, and my husband and I, so the eight of us were around the casket, and my husband and I had our arms just outstretched, just trying to gather the kids in near us. And we were just weeping. My husband and I had our arms stretched. And then our youngest, who was six at the time, he looked up at me and he said, Mom, do you think I could punch Grandpa hard enough he could feel it up in heaven? Like the things that you don't know that you have to say as a mother. It was one of those moments like I didn't know I needed to say, buddy, please don't punch Grandpa in the casket. We don't do that. That's not okay. Here, just give me your hands. Give me your hands. We'll just let me hug you. Our pastor spoke at the funeral, and he commented on my father-in-law's notorious strength, and his hands were like a vice. And he said something I will never forget. He said, let's be clear. Richard is with Jesus not because of the strength of his hands, but because of the strength of the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. It wasn't the strength of his hands. It was by faith in the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. It was by faith. It's not by strength. This passage in Hebrews is often known as the Faith Hall of Fame. We think these are the most faithful people in the Bible. And what's funny, if you read this, you can go back into these various stories that are referenced in Hebrews 11 to each of these people, and you will find that it wasn't necessarily as pretty as the book of Hebrews makes it seem. No one ever said, look at those Israelites wandering around in the desert. Aren't they so faithful? They forgot about God every other second. Gideon was always scared. Samson was easily led astray. David had numerous problems, huge ones, as did Samuel. One theologian I know, Jared Wilson, calls this chapter the revisionist history of the gospel. This is what the gospel does to history. It makes it so we see their faith more than their faithfulness. Whenever I'm teaching from this passage in a Bible study context, I ask the people there to play a game called Wrong Answers Only. We remove the word faith and replace it with all the words that our subconscious is telling us as we read it, or things that other people have told us, so we can see how we're twisting the Bible. We'll say things like, by wit and perseverance, Rahab did what she did. Through strength of his muscles, Samson killed the Philistines. By his good navigational skills, Moses led the people through Israel. We said as many wrong answers as we could think of, through grit, through perseverance. And then we come back to what Scripture actually says. By faith, any of this happened. Faith in what? That everything will work out all right? The definition of success looks pretty bleak here in this passage. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, wandering about in deserts and mountains, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. This does not sound like everything worked out okay. In verse 40, it says, since God had provided something better for us. God provides something better than our best lives all the time. God provides something better than our health and our wealth and everyone close together all the time. The promise of eternal salvation with God by Christ alone is worth everything. We have faith not in some kind of prosperity gospel, but faith that God will never, ever leave us or forsake us. We have faith that God is with us. He is Emmanuel. And this great cloud of witnesses, it's not talking about a bunch of people staring at us as if we put it in context, they each saw God to be faithful. They were witnesses to God's faithfulness. There have been saints who have gone on before us and have told us of the faithfulness and redemption of Christ. And God was and is faithful to them. Whenever I read this passage, especially in the Hebrews 12, this was my grandpa's favorite verses. And it's really hard for me to read these verses without hearing his voice in my head, because I read it in the same intonation that he used to. The places he stressed with his voice, I hear in my head. We have a legacy of people witnessing the faithfulness of God. My grandmother was a pastor's wife and missionary in Japan. But she was one of those people who had to be right all the time. When her kids became adults, she didn't have the best relationship with many of them because she had a tendency to nitpick at everybody all the time. Don't get me wrong, she taught me many skills. I know how to fold a fitted sheet like crisp origami because my grandma taught me. But as she got older, she lost her sight, her eyesight. In the last few years of her life, she could only see a few shadows in her peripheral vision. And I always found it funny because as she lost her sight, God softened her, and my grandma, because she became one of the most tender-hearted people I've ever known. It was like when God took away her sight, she couldn't see what was wrong with all of us anymore. And she just sat and talked about the faithfulness of God nonstop. She would weep over and over again. God has been so faithful. I've made so many mistakes. I messed up so much. But look how faithful he is. He was faithful when I was not. The last several years of her life, all she could talk about was the faithfulness of Christ as all these relationships with her children were renewed. The faithfulness of Christ it knocked the wind out of her, so she could barely talk. This great cloud of witnesses are the generations who've gone on before us, that if God had not been faithful to them, we would not have the message of the gospel now. They echo back generation after generation after generation. And the world may be falling apart and life might be horrible, but God is faithful and he will not leave us like he did not leave them. He is faithful and he will surely do it. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, all of these manifestations we have of unbelief. Let us stay in belief, cling to faith, looking to Jesus, who is actually the founder and perfecter of our faith. He establishes it, and he holds it up and refines it. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. God won. In all of these instances, God will win. God is who he is, and he will continue to be who he is. He is faithful. He will surely do it. It will not be by our strength or by our sight, by us getting everything right. There is only one road, and it is Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.